It's Monday, March 11th, and we're less than a week away from Selection Sunday. As conference tournaments begin this week, Marquette and Wisconsin both seem to be heading in opposite directions. Over to the NFL, free agency frenzy gets underway this week. Where will the Packers factor in all the madness? To the Bucks, they keep rolling, first NBA team to win 50 games. Will Dante DiVincenzo have an impact in the playoffs? Finally, who could be in the Brewers' opening day starting rotation? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 327. How's everybody doing? Happy to be here on a Monday.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
This is almost, might be a first.
No, I think we did one, a couple months ago, we did a Sunday night. Oh, no, we didn't. You know what it was? But it felt like a Sunday night. It was, we did the one on New Year's Day. But that was okay. A Tuesday.
Yep.
But
yep.
It felt
yep.
very Sunday-like. We haven't done many. Shouts to Mitch for accommodating me, because I will be in Indianapolis for a few
days.
Yeah,
I mean, it works out well. So
yep.
And I think it obviously times out with everything that's going on.
Yeah,
you get the Antonio Brown news late Saturday night.
Yep. And really, yeah, I think add on to the fact the NFL free agency stuff's happening, and that the official tampering period begins Monday afternoon, but then the new year starts on the 13th. So we'll have you covered just because I'm on assignment, as one radio station says. Doesn't mean I won't still be blogging. I'm going to try to podcast from my hotel rooms. That's always tricky, because you don't want to do it too late, because you don't know who's around you. You don't want to be that guy, right? It's just like the couple where they're like banging. You don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
That's just I have a loud voice.
You can do. Yeah. I was going to say you are, a louder person. Let's say that. And I mean, you could be doing worse things
right
than doing a podcast, but
I think
it's Eastern time and you've had a time change.
Yep.
So, you're going to be, it's going to be midnight there, and it's going to feel like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, I'll at least try to do it at, 10. I think, no local sports on Monday night. Then I get fortunate the Bucks play on TNT. Now, granted, with how streaming services are, I could easily stream the game. But they are on the players-only broadcast on Tuesday against New Orleans, which will be insufferable.
Really?
Because I fucking hate those players-only broadcast.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to think. I couldn't remember that was the case, but
yeah, they're on TNT.
Now, are those games, do they add those games late?
I think they choose.
I don't know, though, because Thursday I was watching or something, where one of the games last week, it might have been a players only last Tuesday, where they were making fun of the slate of games. It was was it Bucks, Pelicans, and then
let's see what
one of the nights it's Hawks and somebody else, like New Orleans.
Here, we'll see what the other game is here real quick. We'll pull it up. But, yeah, no, they select these early on. I think what the players-only games do is that gives them a little avenue to be, to get some other teams involved. Now, the Bucks have been on it isn't on TNT. They moved it. So it was supposed to be Bucks-Pelicans. It is now Spurs-Mavericks. So they flexed that out. So the Bucks got flexed out. That's okay. I can still find a way to watch it. I swear it was on TNT. I don't remember that, but... Maybe I was wrong. That's okay. The Mavericks get two fucking TNT games this week. What's that about?
Terrible lately.
Yeah, that's awful. That's not great. Anywho, so anyways, we'll talk about the Bucks later on today, and then we'll chat about free agency, some Brewers, but first college basketball. Do you want to start with Marquette or do you want to start with Wisconsin? I'll let you pick. Dealer's choice. You know where I'll start.
Well, let's get the negative out of the way.
Sure, absolutely. Let's talk about Marquette.
Chuck had to go live on Periscope on Saturday after the game.
You go watch that.
We had hit a critical mass.
I was with our boy Nolan, and I just was like, I need 10 minutes. I just need to sit away and not talk to anybody, because love Murph to death, but then he would try to rationalize it, and I had friends. You rationalized a Marquette loss for me, and maybe it was a good thing that they were losing and all this stuff. Get a couple out of the way, Doze and Pat. It wasn't you. It was Doze and Pat. Some people make the argument hey, it's okay to lose a couple games.
I think it's okay to lose a couple, but you've lost four in a row now.
And you've looked extremely tight. You could just tell that they got lemon bootied, and that their sphincters just tightened up in the last 8 minutes of that game. And I don't know, and this time it wasn't about turnovers. The last three have been about turnovers. This time it was, we can't get a stop.
Yeah.
And we can't adjust to Mac, Malibu Most Wanted, McClung, or or James Iko.
Akinjo.
Akinjo.
That dude? Yeah.
Yeah. Akinjo. I knew
that was the two guards that just were driving every
right.
time and getting everyone
and like
trouble.
Nobody stepped in. Like, we just needed a Brad Davidson.
Yeah.
Like, we needed a Brad Davidson to just start taking charges. Like, even if you weren't going to get the call, at least get a blocking call and beat him up a little bit. They out-physicaled us in the second half, and that was part of the reason.
Yeah.
And then you lose that game, and Georgetown's not good. You shouldn't lose to Georgetown.
Well, and you had that huge offensive rebound by Govan or whatever.
Yeah.
At the end, which was another example of getting out-hustled, out-physicaled.
Right, and you had Hauser and Theo John fighting for the same ball. It's like everybody, it was like they did a better job of not looking so tight early on, but then they just need like that game where they just kick everybody's ass, but you don't know if you can get that at this point because the time is running out. So now you look at the Big East tournament. Right now, I don't know where the brackets will have Marquette. Probably a 5 or a 6 at this point. They don't have that great of a net score. They do have a lot of big wins against teams, but Marquette's probably a 5 or a 6 right now. And then if they do, they can make some noise. They could maybe get their way all the way up to a 4. I don't think they can get a 3 seed anymore. I think that is out of the question, no matter if Marquette goes far in the Big East tournament. Now, they have either DePaul or St. John's in the quarterfinals. It's kind of ironic, kind of fitting that St. John's could be their quarterfinal opponent, given that St. John's was kind of the thorn in their side. Before all these teams, before all the losses, St. John's was that team that really bothered Marquette. And so that was it. But this can be a little bit of a revenge tour for the Golden Eagles, because if you win that game, you play Georgetown or Seton Hall the next round, two teams who you just lost to, and then you could get Villanova in the final game.
Yeah.
So you could literally beat all the teams that beat you in the last three of the four teams that beat you in the last 4 weeks.
Well, and
four games.
Hopefully a team welcomes that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they want to see those guys again. I think Marquette thinks that they know they're one of the better teams in the Big East and they should be beating these teams. And yeah, DePaul, worst team in the Big East. Didn't they blow out Georgetown?
They did. And like, DePaul's not like this DePaul team is the best DePaul team they've had in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, this DePaul team, they're not gonna make like an NIT, but they'll probably make like a secondary tournament.
CBI.
Yeah, some weird ass. All those weird ass. But DePaul has talent. Like, people like Max Strauss a lot. I don't like him. He's just a chucker. Like, he just throws up shots. Very Rousey, like a taller Rousey. So they could beat St. John's. They beat St. John's earlier this year. So if they – and that would be a blessing for Marquette. Really would be. Now, I think DePaul wouldn't be easy. Marquette, you know, had some I wouldn't say it was close, but they had 10-point games with DePaul. 10 points at home, and then they beat them by 19 on the road. But getting DePaul in that first round is kind of a sigh of relief. Definitely, I will be pulling for DePaul to beat St. John's.
Yeah.
I do think you're...
St. John's makes you nervous?
Oh, 100%, because they have so much size. I think if you were playing St. John's, I don't think there's a way Marcus Howard should be the starting point guard. I think you should have Sakari Annam be your point guard and have Marcus Howard be off guard that whole game.
Off-guard.
And I just think you just run screen after screen, and you just beat the shit out of St. John's. You become the physical team.
Yeah, and that would be an interesting strategy, maybe, to have Marcus Howard just run circles around the court and
exactly
and tire everybody out. And
exactly, just
let
be
him shoot.
Spot up shooting, like find the corners, find the rhythm threes. I just think a lot of the problem with Marquette in the late game situation is everybody's just standing the fuck around.
Yep.
No one's attacking the rim. No one's just going to the paint. I would also question, is Ed Morrow maybe a better player late game than Theo John, just because he's better post moves. I like Theo John. I just think he's a little sometimes rigid with his post moves,
yeah.
And he doesn't have the fluidity like Morrow has.
More of a put back shot block.
Yeah,
type of
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you could be right there. I think, yeah, they were. I mean, definitely on Saturday they were settling for threes, and you know they were hitting some of them to kind of, you know, obviously keep it close. But you know, at some point you have to move the ball, and you saw a little bit of that in the Badger game as well.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
Yeah, and we'll get to Wisconsin in a second. That was a good transition. I did have like a little meat on the bone.
Sure.
The only thing I'd wrap up with is if Marquette does lose their quarterfinal game and they lose their first tournament game, Steve Wojciechowski has a little bit of a hot seat. I think there is no question about it. You have to, at some point, you have to win some games in March. Mm-hmm. And that's where the money is made. And it's great that they had this awesome, and there are a lot of Marquette fans who are like, if you told us Marquette would be 12-6 in conference this year, people would have settled for that. Because a lot of people said Marquette's a year away from being
awesome.
They
are. I mean, they're young yet. They only had three seniors. Right. And none of them were really, I mean, Chartouni, I guess.
Right. But I do think there are, okay, if it's not put up or shut up time next year, when will it be?
Yeah, I think you're right there.
And if you, and it's like,
I think it is now.
Yeah, And I think if you win a couple games and then you lose the first round of the tournament, tournament's a crapshoot. They could easily get in, like Wisconsin, they could easily win lose in the first round or get to the Sweet 16, mm-hmm, and give one of the upper tier teams a game.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Wisconsin, yes, Wisconsin nearly had the same thing happen. I was like, oh, this is going to fuck our whole thing up because one team's, I think, really playing well and the other team isn't. And I do think the Badgers are playing well. I think they just got the kitchen sink thrown at them.
Yeah, they've won 5 out of 6 to end the season.
Their defense has been incredible. They had, you know, they held Iowa to 45 points. Iowa is not a bad offense.
Iowa without their head coach.
Right. Iowa's a tire fire, man. They blew a 17-point lead today against Nebraska. Bad times in Iowa. But yeah, so Wisconsin gets that elusive double bye. They are now off till Friday, which is pretty nice.
That sounds about right, yeah.
That's what you want. You want to get that double bye. They're avoiding both Penn State and Indiana, who I think are the two hottest, like, sneaky teams, where you're like, who could make a run in this tournament? And it's probably Penn State or Indiana, weirdly enough, of those. But they're on the lower part of that bracket.
See, in Indiana, I mean, they have some talent.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes when you get in those one game situations, I mean, sometimes talent a good thing
out
to have, yeah. And I mean, ultimately, I guess the better argument is talent wins out in a series.
Mm-hmm.
But too, I mean, sometimes you can run into a guy who's a lottery pick that just has a great game, and you know, I could see Indiana making some noise. They're not a tournament team, though, are they?
They might be. They actually might be. I love the suggestion.
Well, beating the Badgers helps.
I love this, and they beat Michigan State twice, who won the Big Ten. I love this suggestion and beat Marquette and have beat Louisville. I mean, they have some big wins. I love the suggestion by Jeff Goodman, who tweeted out, he's tweeted out this a couple times about how for the first four, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday,
yep,
have it be a high major team like Indiana playing like Belmont, playing like a mid-major, and just a mid-major versus a high major for the right to go to the tournament. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, I like that idea too.
That gets me to watch it.
Yeah.
Because if it's Indiana Clemson, I don't really give a shit. Those are two pretty piss poor
teams. Yeah, two mediocre programs, yeah, that are not necessarily going to draw. Yeah, I like that. I mean, because then it continues like the underdog sort
of, totally,
you know, feel that makes the tournament so fun, you know?
Exactly.
And also the selection show is going back to normal now.
Yeah, that's great.
After 1 year of bullshit show.
Exactly. And what a fucking Sunday for us, because you get Bucks Sixers at 2:30,
yep,
and then it rolls right in. And if the Badgers are playing that afternoon, plus St. Patrick's Day, bar owners are just going to be cashing checks.
Yeah.
And I think the Badgers have a decent shot to get to the final game. They'll play Maryland in the second round if Maryland bears out and wins. Maryland has to play, I think, either Rutgers or Illinois. Is that right? I mean, no, it's Rutgers or Nebraska. Excuse me. It's Rutgers or Nebraska. So they either, and Nebraska has talent, but they had such a long losing streak, so they could sneak up on a Maryland-like team. But Maryland's pretty good. Maryland, Wisconsin have played two really good games.
Yeah, Rutgers, Nebraska. They'll go play Maryland.
Yeah, and that'll be an interesting game. But the Badgers will have the less fatigued advantage when they're playing Maryland on Friday, and then the winner of that will go on to play Michigan State, likely. And Michigan State and Wisconsin had a pretty good game. They only played once this year at the Kohl Center. And that was a different Michigan State team because they had Nick Ward. Nick Ward's now out with a hand injury. Cassius Winston, I think, can be contained. But I don't know if the Badgers can win all three games. Now, if they do somehow win the Big Ten tournament, they would, to me, be a 3 seed. I don't think they'd be a 2 seed, but I think a 3 is definitely possible if they win out. Because if they, you think about it, they beat Maryland, they beat Michigan State, and then they either beat Michigan or Purdue in the final, it's pretty good.
Adding that resume, for
totally,
sure.
And absolutely.
Yeah. You know, for a while there, I was thinking Badgers were probably 5 or 6. Then they kind of turn it on here at the end. Marquette slides is a little bit of a factor as well. I mean, they could sneak into that 3 spot that Marquette seemed to have pretty much wrapped up. But,
right. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in this top sort of 16, top 20 of, like, there are teams right now, but it's like things can change. Like, if what happens if LSU runs rump shot, wins the SEC with all the shit going on with Will Wade being suspended? You know, could they be a 1 seed? You know, what happens if Duke loses right away, if Zion's not going to play? It sounds like he's going to be back for the ACC tournament, but I feel like we've heard that for a while.
Yeah. Well, if Duke doesn't make a run, they're probably a 2 seed then, right? If they lose right away.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you'd put them at a 3, but Duke's definitely a 2.
Mm-hmm. And they'll get their cake bracket, right?
Maybe.
As they always do.
We'll see. You know, and I think it's really interesting. I was hearing this today about how, like, they are going to be 100% sure Zion's ready to play because they're not going to risk him trying to get hurt again because that would be a big mark on Coach K.
Yeah, so you think he's sitting out till the NCAA tournament?
No, I think he'll play in the ACC tournament.
You think so?
Okay. Which I think would be great, because that ACC tournament should be fire, because Virginia's really good. North Carolina, to me, looks like the best team in basketball, right? If you were to tell me...
Yeah, so I watched the Duke-North Carolina game, a good chunk of it, and I would say that Cam Johnson dude was probably the best guy in the court there. But then that Kobe White kid, he's good too.
They got talent. They have a lot of talent, man. They are... Good team.
I think, you know, obviously Duke's loaded too,
right?
With lottery picks and, but I think for them, a big thing is getting contributions from, you know, Jack White.
Great name. The thing about Duke is they're one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the country.
Yeah,
and a team that has shot that bad from 3 has never won an NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in your back pocket.
Well, that's it. I mean, Jack White, he's there to be a floor spacer, right?
And we'll do brackets obviously next week. But what I will advise to the public is I would not take Duke. I think it's a contrarian move. If you take Duke, you are going with the chalk, and that you just are putting yourself with probably 20 other people in your bracket pool that are going to have Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say you should be like going crazy, because I think it is a top heavy bracket, but I really think like Gonzaga can win the tournament for sure. Virginia can win the tournament. North Carolina can. Kentucky. I don't know about Tennessee, but all those teams.
Yeah, we know how you feel about Rick Barnes. I mean, we've beat that drum.
Dude, they lost to Auburn. I don't know.
At Auburn, I mean, last game of the year, probably senior day, and Auburn's had a rough year. They've had a couple rough stretches.
And Bruce Pearl gets so much credit for doing less. It's amazing. He just can market himself. So
that dude must do some sort of drugs before the game.
Oh, right.
I mean, he is out of control.
He also basically announced that the sideline reporter was pregnant, Allison Williams. It's like, yeah, and a baby coming on the way. It's like, I'm like, she probably wanted to fucking kill him. She's like, so she then had like an Instagram post and was like, yeah, it's due this summer, like whatever.
Oh, man.
But she's probably like, you motherfucker.
Well, you get buddy-buddy with these coaches. That's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You say you got knocked up. You got a bun in the oven.
It is what it is.
What are you going to do? So, anyways, we'll see what happens. Should be a fun week. Championship week's always great. I've been gambling quite a bit on just random basketball games. I've known more about, I think, some of these conferences than I ever planned to.
Mm-hmm.
I will say really quickly, the A-Sun final today between Liberty and Lipscomb was probably one of the best games of the day, mostly because the flop. Did you see the flop that I filmed? Go to my Twitter page. This flop is an all-timer. I narrate it, but this guy also looks, I described him as like, he's going to be like a guy on The Bachelorette in a few years, like good-looking white guy. Is like, he's going to just be like, yeah, I played pro hoops, but he really played in Europe for 2 years, and that was it.
Yeah.
The service I know is not good in here, but it's on my...
Oh, here we go.
And I do narrate it with sound, but I don't know if you can get it up to the mic.
Like, I mean, that is... player's shit for, I mean, he barely gets time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's just like, yeah.
Him just throwing himself, like, on the floor.
I get uncomfortable when I see, you know, how excited these mid-majors get, because it's just like, you're just going to get pounded.
Wow, you're an asshole. So apparently one of the kids, some student or fan at Lipscomb was like yelling at Liberty, like, you're going to get beat by 400 by a one seed. How does that feel? You're just going to get your ass kicked.
Exactly.
That's pretty funny.
So like your only chance of winning is getting that play-in game, that like 16-16 play-in game they do?
Yeah, it was not a great day for people who have like morals today in from basketball on Sunday, because you had Brian Wardle win with Bradley, former Marquette coach, who had his issues at Green Bay. He was investigated for abuse on players.
Wow.
Made a player shit himself. So that was that. Apparently, yeah, yikes, big yikes. Mm-hmm. And then you had Liberty win, who is basically like the ultra right. It's Jerry Farwell Jr. is the founder of Liberty University. So. Hmm. Yeah, not a great day.
Yeah, well.
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Speaking of what are you going to do, what are the Packers going to do in free agency? So, for the first time ever, it seems like the Packers are actually going to dip their toes. Jay Glazer.
Time in history.
Jay Glazer had said.
We have a spoon in the pot.
In his mailbag, he said that the Packers are going to finally be players in the free agency market. People have tagged the Packers in that they're going to be looking at slot receivers. They're going to be looking at edge rushers. And it's a really fascinating time, I think, to be a Packer fan, because everyone, I think, has a wish list. I think some people wanted the Packers to go after Antonio Brown. I wasn't one of them. I think he's a head case. I think I would not give $50 million to a guy who's 30 years old as a speed receiver. I just don't think that's a good idea.
I think in a vacuum, it is what it is. And then you think about it, how they just didn't want to pay Khalil Mack or whatever, and he went on to be, you know, basically the defensive player of the year.
And they're like, oh, we found this money.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And now we have $50 million to give to a 31-year-old head case.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's very interesting. But anyways, so the Packers.
I don't think Amari Cooper is as good as our friend Nolan was trying to. Stop.
Yeah. No, the Amari Cooper thing, I think, was him and Derek Carr just had no chemistry. And so we'll see.
Yeah, they lost it.
I think this is more of an indictment on Derek Carr. If Antonio Brown struggles this year.
Well, speaking of put up or shut up time.
Oh,
I mean,
big time. 100%.
You know, and then you have fucking John Gruden, who's just, I mean, I don't know. Would you want to play for that guy?
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, Jesus.
He's about as out of touch as anyone right now.
Well, and then you got Mike Mayock, for God's sake, because they're GM.
Yeah.
he was a fun guy to listen to with the draft and everything, but.
So you're pretty much out on the Raiders.
How much do you think John Gruden's going to listen to him?
Nah. I mean, at some point, there'll be friction, there'll be tension. We'll see how the draft process goes.
I think moving to Vegas is pretty scummy.
Oh, yeah. It's all. I mean, so, just become a Packer fan. I know you already kind of are. I know you don't like to be a Packer fan because we're just sort of assholes about things, but just be a Packer fan.
Yeah, okay.
Or choose another team, or we have a draft for you. That would be great, great content in summer, like middle of summer. We'd have to probably have Murph with us.
Patriots.
But we pick your next NFL team. I kind of like this. This sounds like a great July podcast.
Seahawks. How about, there we go.
I mean, yeah, if you want to be we want to hate you.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, the big news with the Packers was, would they trade for Dee Ford? So then there was all this conversation, all this noise
on Saturday
across the board about, like, well,
Ian Rappaport, who has now been dropped down a few pegs in the pecking order of NFL insiders.
Right, because he reported Brown to the Bills.
Yeah, and then, although to be fair to him, he said a deal was close.
Yeah.
Not like it was done, so.
People just choose what they want.
Obviously.
But yeah, Rapp said basically the Niners, and that's who really the Packers will be competing with for edge rushers, is the 49ers. And I'd argue San Francisco is a lot more luxurious than Green Bay, but I think you have a better chance to win with Aaron Rodgers than you do with Jimmy Garoppolo and being in the division with the Rams.
Yeah.
I think you have a lot more, and I think, I don't know what they have coaching staff-wise, but, you know, Mike Patton, Mike Smith, I mean, Mike Smith, who's the outside linebackers coach, just made Dee Ford the top edge rusher on Pro Football Focus, both from the run and the pass. And so
Was it D4 to the guy who lined up offsides?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so.
So that will be brought up. Wally Waukesha will not let you forget that if they do trade for him. And all of a sudden on Saturday, the beat writers just started caping for Nick Perry.
I know. I saw that too.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Who made the call? Did Nick Perry's agent hey, you have to start talking about my client, please? Like,
and
what the fuck?
And your check will be in the mail.
Yeah.
Sir.
Like, so, because I'm like, Nick Perry stinks. Yeah, he's a ghost. Like, Nick Perry's Casper.
Exactly.
Like, that is Nick Perry.
Yeah, he is a
nice guy.
If he's not hurt, he's not doing shit.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know what else you want us to say.
So, anyways, with D-Ford, his coach is there. His coach is probably like, yeah, get
so,
this
I mean,
guy.
Do you want D-Ford?
I'm okay with Justin Houston or D-Ford. I think Justin Houston has he's only 30 years old. He has been released, right? He has been released.
As of Sunday, I think.
Yes. His market is going to be big. There is a lot of, like, someone said you should just do the Julius Peppers treatment. Don't let him leave. Get him there at midnight and show him around Lambeau. Explain to him all the things. He's apparently a great teammate, great locker room guy. I think it would be a hell of an addition to add Justin Houston. Mm-hmm. And you also have some familiarity because Mike Smith came over from Kansas City, was his outside linebackers coach last year. So you do have that. And I think anytime that you don't have to trade for a draft pick to get a guy, I think that's the better move. I think that is the smarter move. You want to keep your draft picks. Because if you could say, hypothetically, get Justin Houston and then get Montez Sweat or get one of the other edge rushers.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, all of a sudden, here we call.
How would you feel about like a pick swap with, you know, if you had to get D Ford? I mean, do you think you're looking at that much?
Someone mentioned that. I saw that somewhere, actually,
where it was like the 29 pick and D Ford for the 12th pick.
And it's like, well, you then have the 29th pick, you have the 30th pick that you could essentially bundle and move back up to like high teens. 18, 19, and get back into the mix. Mm-hmm. It'd be really interesting.
Or would you rather just have the two guys?
I would just probably rather have the two guys.
Yeah.
And I would just say, get Justin Houston, get maybe Za'Darius Smith, if that's the route we want to go, Za'Darius Smith, Milt Hendrickson, who was one of the assistant GM in Baltimore, now is with
Za'Darius Smith was from Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Another D end?
Yeah, another edge rusher. So there's guys. Preston Smith from Washington. I mean, there are names that they can be involved with. Now, the slot receiver conversation to me is almost more interesting. It's not getting talked about enough. It's like, okay, there are a lot of guys out there. There's Cole Beasley wants $20 million. He's on crack. If Packers give Cole Beasley $20 million, I would love to see the reaction because I think it would be such a contradiction to everything that we've heard.
That dude's not even good.
Exactly.
He's okay.
He's overvaluing himself. Yeah. He's in for a harsh reality. I'd rather have Adam Humphries. Golden Tate would be really interesting.
I feel like Cole Beasley's the classic, like, every fourth game is just a monster game.
Right.
And then he doesn't do shit the other games.
Golden Tate would be super interesting from the perspective of he's a noted asshole. He was part of the Hail Mary situation.
He's a former division guy.
There would be a lot of interesting vibes with him, but he'd be a hell of a talent. And he would be he's a pass catcher.
Well,
all he does is catch balls.
What about Randall Cobb?
I don't think so.
Think he's gone?
I think he's gone. I think Randall Cobb lost the step. And I just think there are other guys. Like, if Beasley for the right price, Golden Tate, Adam Humphries are all guys I'd rather have than Randall Cobb. Or going with like a Devin Funchess on the outside and bumping like an Equanimous St. Brown inside.
Mm-hmm.
Fine with that.
Yeah. I think the Packers have a lot of depth in their receiver core as it is right now, but you're definitely probably going to want to add a two or three receiver. So, yeah.
It'd be ignorant not to add a veteran because you need to have two veterans with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And then at least have three guys who are going to pick up a playbook quickly than the other guys who are going to need time. And maybe you try to trade one of those three guys, whether it's Valdes-Scantling, Jamon Moore, or Equanimous St. Brown, to a team to try to see if you can get an extra draft pick, see if you can get maybe a player even, like – you just leverage those guys in a future deal.
Yeah.
So
I think MVS could be a stud too.
I do too. I'm not. And Geronimo Allison's another guy that could come back. So he's a restricted free agent. I don't think it's been reported if he signed a tender. No, another guy that I guess the Packers are in on is Mark Ingram. That's really interesting. I don't hate it. I think.
Well, that means Jamal Williams is probably.
Yeah, they probably look to deal Jamal Williams, but I do think they need more. You know, Ingram's body type and size sort of fits that zone rushing attack, and really could be a force in that sort of Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur style of like of running the
football. The thing with Ingram though is he's probably on his last deal.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be, what, 30, 31?
He's a little old, yeah. He's definitely getting up there in age.
He's like our age.
Is he? I don't know how old.
He might be a couple years older.
No, he was, you're right, though, actually, because he won the Heisman when I was 21.
Yeah.
So there's a story. There's a reason Mitch is laughing. I can't tell that story.
Yeah.
But there's a definite reason in that what Mitch is saying.
Mark Ingram.
He's born in 89.
Okay, yeah, so.
So, yeah. He's from Michigan, though. So
if he's old, then I'm old.
He's from Flint. He went to Flint Southwestern Academy. So he's a Midwest guy, even though he's been in the South for his whole college and pro career.
Mm-hmm.
Loves Alabama. Big Alabama guy. So, why do we get another Eddie Lacy? That would be great from Wally Waukesha.
Mm-hmm.
Would be fun. Be interesting, too, another last kind of thing with free agency. It'll be interesting to see the Packers dip their toes in, the safety stuff we talked about last week. I really like Tashaun Gibson. Is it Tashaun Gibson?
Tayshaun?
It's Tayshaun? Yeah, I mean.
I know there's no Y in
no,
there.
No,
Gibson.
Gibson, yeah.
Tayshaun Gibson.
Gibson. And he had a great year with Patton in Cleveland. There's a relationship there. I'd feel more comfortable getting him for less money than Landon Collins. I just don't think – I like Landon Collins. I just don't know if I want to pay that much money for a safety when there's a lot of safeties in the market.
It's a huge safety market, yeah.
I just
Earl
can't.
Earl Thomas?
Yeah, I think Earl Thomas is a fantasy land. I love Earl Thomas. I think Earl Thomas just isn't coming anywhere north.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to either go play with Richard Sherman in San Francisco or go back home and go to Houston or go to Dallas. And there's a reason Houston's letting Tyrann Mathieu go, because I think they have a legit chance of signing Earl Thomas.
And you think Tyrann Mathieu is not as good as Earl Thomas?
He's
probably not as physical.
I'd rather have Earl Thomas. And Matthews also said he won't go any north of Nashville, which is very interesting. Whatever. to each their own.
Yeah.
Some guys just don't want to come up here. That's fine. You just got to know that. Yeah. So.
Well, you actually have to play outdoors. So
right. Then, exactly. And they might think they're
on top of having to live in a cold, you know.
Yeah. Like Landon Collins would be a good locker room fit. I know there would be a lot. Well, he's Ha-Ha's best friend. Like whatever. And I think
he's probably the best safety on the market.
I actually would have made more sense.
All things considered, age and everything, he's only like, what, 26?
It would be interesting to know, like, this would be a fly in the wall thing, but you'd almost be interested to know from Gunakust if it's like, man, if we would have just kept Taha, you know, who's also a free agent on this market, if we would have just kept Taha, brought him back and said, all right, we'll bring back you and Landon and get you guys back together and you guys are playing together and it's like this buddy thing. I'd be interested to see if that would have that like
in
swayed.
Green Bay.
Yeah, it won't happen now. But I'm saying if you know whatever.
Yeah,
they just going back, looking back on that.
Is Landon Collins more of a free safety or strong safety?
Strong safety.
Okay.
So,
and then I mean Josh Jones. Are people done with him?
I'm done with Josh Jones. I just would rather him beef up and be a linebacker. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean I think the game is. Trending that direction where
or
you,
just
you
a
want
rover,
that guy.
Or just like a Mark Barron type. I mean, Mark Barron was a safety that went into a linebacker. He's now a middle linebacker. Like, Josh Jones, if he wants to be a middle linebacker, I'm totally fine with that.
Get him on the roids? And...
Yeah, exactly. You got to get him on that J.J. Watt peanut butter sandwich diet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll also see, the last to wrap it up is, see if they get anything from the offensive line. I will say that's not my strong suit in terms of notable names, but... There are guys available.
Well, Kevin Zeitler got traded.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I would have loved Kevin Zeitler.
Yeah.
But that was
Is he from Wisconsin?
Yeah. He went to Wisconsin Lutheran.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. So that would have been cool. But yeah.
I mean, I know most Wisconsin linemen are from Wisconsin, but not all of them.
Yeah. But it would just be the Wisconsin thing aside, he's just a really fucking good guard.
Yeah.
And the Baggers definitely need help at guard. So I think and this is probably a podcast for you and I to have a topic next week, so we'll save it. But I think what the Packers do in free agency in this first week will tell us a lot about what they're going to be, what they want to do in the draft. So we'll see what they do, and then we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do anything, I think that's a whole other conversation that obviously we need to have and say, we've been hoodwinked, we've been bamboozled. Wally Waukesha would be off the chain. They need guys, so they need to make moves.
Yeah.
So hopefully they are, and hopefully they drop some bags. So moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks are currently playing the San Antonio Spurs. We taped.
It's just about halftime right now.
Last time we were doing this, we were playing the Suns. We're like, wow, they'll beat the Suns. And then they lost.
Well, I've already chalked Sunday night up to a loss.
Yes, it is a scheduled loss. So the Bucks got in at 4:15. Nick Monroe gave this special Instagram story of them getting in at 4:13 from San Antonio. I was like, it's a wise move, Nick. Like, now we all know.
Tell Marquette to play their fucking game a little earlier so you don't have to play your game so late. And then...
Oh, look at... I'm hurt. That was a ricochet shot. Do you think we've
But
gone
I know because
enough?
Of the TV contracts, we can't do that.
Yeah. So, yes.
So they had to play at 1:30, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
On the same day.
I also don't know why they don't just have, like, a Fiserv Forum court that they both can use. And that has, like, maybe a Marquette logo and a Bucks logo. And just make... Mitch is out. Mitch is...
Absolutely not. I mean, that's one of the worst things you've ever said. I mean, that's like so cheap. I mean, that would just never happen.
Herb Cole would definitely do that, though.
Herb would probably do it, yeah.
Herb would. I could sell that to Herb, 100%.
But Herb's luckily got nothing to do with it anymore.
No,
so.
He doesn't. Maybe I'll still pitch and see if I can get that in front of him, help you out.
Yep.
Anyway.
So they play a late game. They have turnaround. It's a 7 o'clock Sunday start, which I feel like typically the Spurs play 6 p.m., I wonder if maybe the time change had something to do with it, too.
Probably had something to do with it. I think it helps the fact the Bucks were staying in the same time zone. They didn't have to go out of the time zone.
Yeah.
They had to go to the East Coast. That would really have been bad. Like, they had to play the Heat tonight. It would have just, they would have scored maybe 6 points.
Raptors and Heat. We thought that would be a Miami Flu game.
Yeah,
Raptors.
I bet on Miami.
The fucking Raptors played really well.
Yeah.
Made like 21 threes.
Yeah, that cost me a lot of money. But also, too, fraud-ass Indiana lost again to a good team.
Dude, Indiana has a brutal schedule. I mean, the division's all but clinched.
Well, right. Are they going to be a 5 or could they even be a 6?
I think they might be a 5.
Could the Pistons come up? The Pistons, man,
Pistons
just
are
keep
hot.
Winning.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're like still like 4 or 5 back from. But yeah, now I think the Pacers and Sixers swapped.
Indiana plays like on Tuesday they play New York.
Okay.
And then after that it's just all playoff teams for like 8 games in a row.
Are they at home against New York on Tuesday?
I believe so.
Oh. Be in the area. Might have to check it out.
Yeah. Where in Boom?
Nah, I would just watch. I'd get a Pacers shirt just because. Just have one. Is that sacrilegious?
Nah, I don't know.
Do we really have a rival?
I go back and forth on it in Indiana.
The Pacers a rival? I mean,
I like Indiana. I always liked Reggie Miller. I liked,
yeah, me
I
too.
Mean,
I was a big Reggie
I like their
guy.
Uniforms. I like their colors. But I have been jealous of them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, anyways, with the Bucks, they have a couple games this week. They play New Orleans on Tuesday, and then they play
Miami on Friday.
Miami on Friday. So, get a lot of time off before the Heat game, which is different. It could be a potential matchup in the first round. And then you get the Sixers on Sunday, which is a big game.
That's a huge one.
ABC, no way to sugarcoat that. Embiid's back. He played today, and he had a really good game.
He was insane, yeah.
So, that'll be a hell of a matchup. And if the Bucks win that, they win the season series. Not that it really matters anymore. That's not a thing, but still to have that as in your back pocket, and the Sixers 2 times going to the Fiserv Forum and they're both losses, that's still a mental, you get a little bit of a mental edge. Because if the Sixers win that game, then they sort of think, okay, when it comes playoff time, we can win in this gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're like, they're like, no, you can't. And
yeah, and I think like Tobias is probably always going to play with a chip on his shoulder against 100%. The Bucks.
It's just like who is it that did that the other day? There was a foreign buck that was dropping.
Well, Frank Kaminsky.
Oh yeah, Frank. Well,
on
yeah.
Saturday.
Frank just being in Wisconsin. Yeah, Frank annoys the shit out of me. Well, always.
I'm sure he does.
He will.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah,
or?
I think so.
Yeah, because not a former buck, but a former Badger.
Wisconsinite. He was from Illinois, but he. Yeah. Former Wisconsin player definitely likes to get back at the team. Wes Matthews also too
Correct.
Has that same sort of thing where whenever he comes to Wisconsin, he seems to always score 25.
Yeah, exactly. Never misses. Nah. So Indiana, Philly. Who else do we have?
Yeah, that I mean, that's the week. And so then the question, well, it was really interesting about, you know, Saturday's game was Dante DiVincenzo played extended minutes. He had 11 points. He was really a catalyst.
He was.
The hustle just gave them a spark. Giannis even said that.
I wanted to go back and listen to the standing ovation he got. Yeah, just so I could laugh, but I didn't really try that hard, and I couldn't find it.
It was super funny. I mean, yeah, he gets just all these sorts of cheers. He was really great. And
well, I tweeted it. That's like my one tweet from the game during the game was, you know, if it weren't for him, it was right for that stretch. I'm like, if it wasn't for him, we'd be down by 20.
Right. And like him and Brook Lopez, I mean, his effort in the second quarter and then Brook Lopez in the third going off.
Well, Bud said after the game that, you know, they've been talking about getting Brook more post-up opportunities and stuff, especially when teams go small.
Yeah.
And it becomes more advantageous for him. And because I think you mentioned it last night. I mean, like, Brook Lopez is still, or maybe it was Twiggs, I don't know. I was talking to somebody, he's a natural post scorer.
Right. And this, if that, to me, Saturday's game said a lot of like, okay, so you think you can stop us. You think you can go small. Well, we're just going to pound you in the paint with Giannis, with Lopez, and we're just going to beat you up old school style. So good luck. And oh, yeah, by the way, we have a guy, Dante DiVincenzo, who's kind of known how to hit clutch shots in the past. Mm-hmm. Granted, playoff basketball is a little different than March Madness. But
yeah, I don't think you're going to see much Dante in
you
the
don't
playoffs
think so?
To answer your question. I'll tell you why, because George Hill's going to come back and take all those minutes.
Right.
Sterling Brown's going to come back. Maybe.
Would you rather have Sterling Brown or Dante DiVincenzo play 10 minutes a game, say, in the playoffs?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
You can use it tonight on the
probably
show.
Probably Sterling Brown.
Okay.
Just because he's a little bit older.
I
think they're similar kind of players.
Yeah, I think
Sterling's
a
little bigger,
a little more reliable, and I think he also can sort of get into a scrap if need be. Sometimes you need that guy. I don't think Dante could, but Sterling is. Sterling's like number one dark alley. Like he's in the dark alley squad for the Bucks. It's like Giannis, it's Lopez, it's Sterling Brown. I may put Middleton in there.
No.
I put Ersan in there.
Ersan's got a little crazy in him, but I don't know. And they don't really have anybody that's really crazy.
No, they don't have an unhinged guy. But Sterling Brown won't let.
I would love to see Pau go nuts once.
Pau is in that, probably also in that dark alley team. He's not afraid to mix it up. So yeah, I think Sterling Brown will probably have more of. I would probably defer and agree that Sterling Brown could do. I will say if the Bucks are trailing big in a playoff game, it wouldn't surprise me to see Dante DiVincenzo come in like he did. He just is an all-time energy guy. Mm-hmm. And I think his role will develop as he continues to develop himself as a player. But right now, he's just an energy guy who's going to give you 150% and just a hustle, kind of like what you want a Dele to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, he can be a better Dele for sure.
And
much more athletic.
So I could definitely see, I think DiVincenzo's role is very specific.
Well, unless I mean, Dante takes Pat Connaughton's minutes.
Right. Now, Connaughton came in before him today in San Antonio, but that could just be a load management thing. Remember, Dante's coming back from a long-term knee injury.
And Pau didn't play on Saturday.
Right.
So I haven't looked if he's played at all on Sunday, but that had to be a... You know,
yeah,
designed
right
plan of attack.
And Bud had a great answer when the reporters asked him, like, "Hey, why isn't DJ Wilson playing?" Because a lot of the Bucks Twitter has been like, "We all want DJ Wilson," and he's like, "Look, I can't play everybody." He's like, "I just don't have the minutes." DJ, I love DJ. DJ is great. He does a lot of good stuff for us, but right now he's just outside. DJ is maybe the greatest insurance policy that any playoff team has.
Yeah, I mean. I think that's what he said too. Was any great team is going to have too many players. I mean,
that's the Brewers had that problem too. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. And there could be those moments where you're down 20 in the first half of a playoff game, and you just bring in a bunch of you bring in DJ, you bring in Dante, and you're just like, okay, just go balls out. We'll just see what happens, and maybe then all of a sudden they can flip momentum because those are the type of guys who can flip momentum in a game. And they have a minute, a moment, I guess, in the playoffs where it's like, maybe not a podium game, but damn close.
Let's just get the playoffs here.
I know.
We just got to make it there healthy.
I know, man. I'm ready. Pau has played 8 minutes tonight. He has 3 points.
Ooh.
Made a three.
1 of 8 from the floor.
As a buck?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. No, I was that was my guess at tonight's line so far.
No, he's 1 of 2. Mm. Gasol, he is.
Nice.
Bledsoe and Giannis are leading scorers with 14 apiece. So we'll see if the Bucks can get it done. Definitely not an easy task at all. Moving it to, we have a little time for the Brewers, right?
Yep.
All right, so the Brewers are wrapping up spring training. I mean, they're getting closer and closer. Opening day is a few weeks away. It's 28th, which still feels so early. Feels too early, really, for baseball, in my opinion.
Where are they playing this year to start the year?
St. Louis. They're starting the year in Miller Park.
Oh, they are.
4-game series against the Cardinals right out the box.
At the end of March.
At the end of March. Second week.
It's going to be about 35 degrees.
Exactly.
Opening day.
We will probably talk about this when we do like preview baseball
still,
in a couple weeks.
People will still come out in droves.
But I will recommend to all of you to not go to opening day. I will say that I think
it's the worst of the worst.
Well, first of all, it's the biggest amateur hour in Milwaukee.
Oh yeah.
No question about it. Number two, it's not fun baseball. Like, everybody's just sort of, yeah. It's a lot of going through the motions, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, let these guys get rolling for like a week or two. And then it's like, all right, let's go out to the ballpark middle of April when like it's starting to feel like baseball. Like, you have to almost let college basketball get done. And then that gap before the NBA playoffs start or right when the NBA is ending, then you go hit up baseball.
Baseball is just so weird, man. Like, the season's just way too long.
Yeah.
And I understand they're never going to change it. But yeah. You could probably cut a month off the beginning and a month off the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that.
Because you're right. I mean, there's just like, you don't even know what you are for like the first month of the season.
Oh yeah.
You know, your first benchmark, if you will, is like Memorial Day.
Christ, can you imagine if the Brewers start like 6-12? We'll have to just talk people like off ledges and be like, guys, relax. It's like, it's really fucking early. Like. Mm-hmm. Let's see how they do it by the end of the month, and then we can chat.
Yeah, if you're 6 games under 500 with 100 games left, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and my other worry is, like, if they don't start hot, like, people, it's not going to – the Bucks were hot from literally day one, and so it was – I wouldn't say there was a lot of, like, moments where you're like, are we sure that this team is, like, good? Like, baseball is such a different monster.
Yeah.
So those who are Bucks and Brewers fans, it's going to be a lot. Yeah. You know, but as the topic we talked about with the starting pitching rotation, you know, Jimmy Nelson is going to pitch his first game. Is that tomorrow? Monday. So today. So he's pitching today. We'll see how he does. Be very interesting. I still think he's probably going to go to extended spring training. Jeremy Jeffries may go on the DL, may not. But it doesn't look like Nelson will be ready to be in the rotation to start the year. So it then opens it up and to see where they're going from here. And you have Julius Chacin, who's probably the opening day starter, and which has been a curse in its own right. Chacin, Zach Davies, Chase Anderson are your three. And then it becomes Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, and Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns got lit up again on Sunday.
But he had a bunch of unearned runs. Ben Gamel
lost. Oh, true. Only two earned runs.
Ben Gamel lost one in the Sun that led to a 3-run triple. They came back and beat the Cubs, though. They were down 5-1.
They did.
And they beat the Cubs. Lando Arcia had a 3-run homer. Lando's hitting the ball really well this spring training, by the way. But, yes, Corbin hasn't really been that great. And I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know what it is. So the real question is, and Freddie Peralta, on the other hand, has been dynamic. Ryan Braun commented on Friday that Freddie's thrown really hard. He's throwing in the mid-90s, and his stuff is still brutal. And he was making people just look silly. So it's like, okay, so Peralta and Woodruff are pitching all right. Like, do we kind of – so then what do you do with Corbin Burns? Do you keep him stretched out in AAA, or put him in the bullpen, back in the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's the big question, I think, right now.
I think
for
the
Brewers.
You just go bullpen and keep him long.
Keep him long.
Two, three inning appearances.
Yeah, I don't hate that, especially at the early part of the season, because you don't want to burn out guys. And if you're like, okay, there are going to be days, Corbin, where Chacin only goes 5 innings, or maybe he only goes 4 innings, and then we're bringing you in for 2 to 3 at most. And mm-hmm. Unless you get rocked, we're going to keep you out there for 2 innings.
Do you think the Brewers' bullpen philosophy can work 2 years in a row?
I don't know. I mean,
a lot of the consternation from like the Seth Everetts of the world is like, well, I mean, you killed your bullpen last year. Like, we'll see if they'll be able to, you know, continue that this year. You know, guys like Hader's young, so like.
Yeah, there. I mean, look, there is so much.
Obviously, they're not going to do what they did in the playoffs all season long.
Yeah, and there's so much variables that go into a baseball season more than any other sport. More than any other sport, because it's so long. And there's so many things that can happen. We talked about this last week. You can go back and listen about how, you know, there were things last year that aren't going to be the same as this year. Like, they aren't going to be as bad of a hitting team.
Yep.
And it, maybe if the bullpen does falter a little bit, well, if the hitting's better, then maybe it's a moot point.
It just evens out.
Yeah, it evens itself out. So, I don't know. I think there is a plan. I think David Stearns and Craig Counsell are extremely calculated. I think everything is talked about and discussed. And they have a roadmap, I think, of how they want this season to go.
Yeah.
And then that's how they'll start with it. And then whenever the first pivot, whether it's a Hader injury, whether it's a, you know, Corbin Burns is, what do we do with him? I think they'll figure that out, and then they'll pivot along the way and sort of get it done.
Yeah, I think they have, you know, a plan for every player. And certainly the pitching staff.
And I do think it frustrates fans because they don't know the plan. And in the day of social media and the day of information 24/7,
yeah,
you're like, I want to know everything. And I would love to know that plan too, but it's, you're just not going to get it. Yeah. And you just have to deal with that, unfortunately.
Right.
So, all right, we'll be back next week. We'll talk brackets. We'll see who Mitch puts his curse of death on, because he always does.
Yep, I lose a Final Four team in the first round, at least.
At least. Tradition unlike any other. All right, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about other stuff as well. All right, for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care. Have a good week.
See ya.
Later.